Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
People are strange. Something strange.
Is that strange?
That is strange.
Strange. That is strange.
Well, that is strange.
This is strange.
And welcome back to another episode of Strange Sauna. Today, we have a very special guest, PJ, formerly from Conspiracy Pill, but now you're on Deep Oceans, right? That's your new show that you have.
Dark Oceans.
Dark yeah. Oceans. I am so sorry.
It's all
Dark
good. It's Oceans. Brand new. It's only like two episodes out so far.
You know, I see these names and then they're all just kind of intermingled in my mind. So, PJ, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm a fan of your work and I'm excited to be here, man.
Yeah. So for those who aren't familiar with you, can you just give a little background? What got you into conspiracies? What are you doing now?
Sure. Yeah. I've been podcasting for just over 5 years now. I started back in 2019. I knew I wanted to get into podcasting. I had an idea going back almost 8 years now that I really wanted to do a conspiracy podcast. I was listening to stuff back then and I wasn't finding a lot that I really thought was either coming at it from the angle that I wanted to come at it from, or was really all that informative. So I had this idea for a long time. I got into Twitch streaming in 2019 literally as practice. I was okay. Just like, well, I can get used to talking in front of a camera and people and things like that. Mm-hmm. Started a show called Totally Plausible Conspiracy Theories and ran that for a while. And then just over 2 years ago, I got back into it with Conspiracy Pilled. And now I'm doing a show called Real Conspiracies, R-E-E-L. So it's like movie conspiracies and stuff like that. And then my new project is Dark Ocean. So, and that one is all of it. It's conspiracies, cryptids, supernatural, paranormal, kind of all of the strange and mysterious and weird things. So
right up our alley.
What is this here?
Someone has joined us. Strange. Here,
I'm going to just decline that. Sorry about that. That thing just popped up out of nowhere. We could just edit that up. But yes, that's really
probably
cool,
just
dude.
The CIA listening in on the conversation.
Yeah, so. Right. They're just like, are you sure we can't listen to this episode?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, because today I've invited you on to talk about the Illuminati card game. I saw your episode with Conspiracy Pilled. I thought that was an excellent kind of run through of there's so many cards in the deck. And it like some people are kind of confused on like, what is the Illuminati card game? Like, what's the original card game versus the latest renditions sure. that have come out.
And yeah, like all the predictions, we can jump right into it if you want to. I've got a whole lot of, as I showed you earlier, I've got a whole lot of slides and screens and stuff like that. So let me see. I'll share this really quick. So you asked what the card game is. And this right here is the original card game. This is the 1982 version. So it's not the one that people are thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah, this looks totally different.
Yeah.
I thought it came out in 95.
The version that we're going to be talking about is the 95 version.
Okay.
Yes. This started in 1982. It was created by Steve Jackson Games.
Yeah.
He's kind of known for nowadays Munchkin. I actually have a picture of that right here. Munchkin, if you guys have ever seen played that one.
I remember that.
I've never even heard of this.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? If you look at Munchkin in the box at the bottom corner, you'll see Steve Jackson Games.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
And it's the all-seeing eye.
Ooh.
Right. So yes, but the 1995 version, they call this the factory set. So this is the 450 card deck, and it's the one that all the predictions come from. There's like a bunch of expansions, but I don't really talk about the expansions because most of those have either changed to be a little bit more politically correct or it doesn't really fit in with what people know the card game for, which is that it predicted things that happen in the future. So if you see a card about BLM or whatever, which is one of the examples people give, that came out in an expansion pack after, BLM. Right. So it's not really the same thing.
Dude, it's not cheap either. Wow. $700.
No, because they discontinued it. So the cheapest version runs about $700 on eBay.
Like, what a collectible to have, though. I mean, if you can get your hands on one of these, it's just a pretty penny, isn't it?
It is. And I know that another resource I think is good to help people with understanding, like, again, there's a little bit of confusion going on what cards are actually in this deck. Luckily, there is an INWO cards PDF. So you can find the original PDF online.
Oh, wow.
And if you go through this, it'll have literally every card in the whole original 1995 set.
Nice.
So when I did my research for this originally, I literally went through and looked at every single card in here and kind of looked at a lot of conspiracy theories on it. And if I saw one, I went back and checked to make sure it wasn't like an expansion from later on. But you can do that with this PDF. So
that's excellent, dude. And I never even knew about this.
And how many cards are in the 1995 version? You said 400?
450.
450.
Mm. Yeah, and they're different types of cards. Let me see. I've got this in my notes here. I'm kind of jumping around from what I put in here, but there's group cards. There's things like Big Media, the CIA, yep. Evil Geniuses, the KKK, stuff like that. There's resource cards, which is more like items and objects like the Ark of the Covenant. They have Hitler's brain as a card.
Yeah, really?
It's crazy,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, there's some really funny ones in here. They've got plot cards like bribery and cover up and
loan sharks.
Yep, loan sharks. They got junk cards.
Junk mail, IRS. I was laughing because I'm like, everything that we think is corrupted is in this card game.
Right.
Nothing surprised me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting too, because like on one hand, I think it's hilarious because, you know, I've got a bit of a sense of humor and some of our obvious jokes, some of it's really, you know, kind of interesting. And the game itself honestly just sounds kind of fun. Like I haven't played it. I'd like to actually own this, but at $700 on eBay, I'm probably not getting it anytime soon. Yeah. But yeah, it's basically you have a secret society. I've actually got a list of them here and they're in the book as well. But you've got the Bavarian Illuminati, the Bermuda Triangle is one of them, the Discordian Society, the Gnomes of Zurich, which I had to look into what that means. It's like means Swedish bankers, essentially.
Dude, you know what? It's like every single card could be an episode. Of like,
that's literally what I said. When
literally,
Dark Oceans
literally.
Or Strange Song, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, 100%. Yeah, every single card has its own conspiracy episode behind it, pretty much.
Correct.
And it's got like black dice that don't have a one on it, but have a triangle on it. So like right off the bat, they're just like, you know, black six-sided dice.
Yeah, black cubes. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, they got all these things. And what I think is interesting is like, obviously, like right off the bat, some of the things I noticed was some of the predictions like, this one, the BATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Mm. If you look at this picture, it looks like the Waco siege. And obviously the Waco siege happened in 93. This comes out in 95. So it's not as much a prediction as a commentary on what happened at Waco.
But was when did the ATF, I guess, form? When did they form the ATF?
I don't actually know that off the top of my head. I mean, it was obviously before the card game because they... But did the public even really become aware of the ATF until Waco?
That's what I don't know.
I don't think so. I think that's what woke everybody up.
Yeah.
That and how the FBI maneuvers and does their doings. I think it really woke a lot of people up.
You know,
absolutely. I mean, the NSA was the same way. Like people didn't know about the NSA. And then in the 73 Church Committee or Commission Committee, I never remember which one it's called. We found out the NSA had been spying on people since the 50s, yet until that point, no one in the public knew that there was such thing as the NSA.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like ATF was a term that I hadn't even heard of until I listened to a DMX song. And I'm like, wait, open up, the ATF is here. Who's ATF? You know,
when I first became aware of them. I think I first became aware of them from Twitter at some point, you know, with like the shooting dogs thing, like a long time, or Facebook or something, you know.
Okay.
Do you remember that when there was like a whole thing about the ATF like shooting people's dogs?
No, but okay. I mean, was that like a game to them or something? They're just like, hey,
that was kind of the meme has kind of become like that whole thing. If you have a dog and the ATF shows up, they're just going to shoot it. Like,
there was
a lot of videos of them showing up to raid people and just instantly shooting the dog, like before even messing with anything.
They know
but
what
that
to
also
do.
Goes back to Waco too. Like there was a whole thing about them shooting all the dogs at Waco.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Netflix had a really good show on it. And it was quite amazing that, and I always feel Netflix they're very biased. So I did some more research and was like, you get about half the truth or 70% on on a Netflix. But yeah, they shot the dogs up. They were just not really listening to anyone, just did what they wanted, kind of made up their own orders too.
Wow. Netflix and Wiki are kind of the same in that they can tell the truth, but they can lie by omission.
Yes.
You know, like if you watch the Epstein documentary, it was very selectively edited to make you come away with a certain feeling and a certain take on it.
Yep.
And it just angers us, people that are more awake and have researched stuff, being like, come on, like you're not, you know, they'll do one on Diddy and same thing. It'll just be enough to give you a little bit, but not enough to, you know, suppress our appetites. You know? Right.
Yeah. It's just a limited hangout. It's like, here's the salacious bit of information that you need.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you won't care about the rest.
Well, yeah, they're all gatekeepers. You know what I mean? It's just like, we'll direct everybody and funnel them into the direction and the information that we want them to know. They don't need to know everything, you know?
Right. Yep. So with the card game, I was trying to figure out, you know, they've got some that are obvious references, as I was pointing out. They've got some that are kind of just like conspiracy related jokes or just like known conspiracies. Like here's one, International Weather Organizations, the idea that there's people that are controlling the weather. I don't think they have a HAARP card, but HAARP wasn't really a thing in 1995. It wasn't known to most people in 1995, I should say.
Right.
But they've got that going on. They've got...
And I see most cards have
American Nazis. So there's like the reference to Hitler and them escaping to South America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they have like a power and resistance number at the bottom. So I guess depending how you want to play the card.
There's like groups and, you know, like I said, you take one of those groups and then certain I'm trying to remember exactly how it goes, but like certain goals that you have will say you have to like do this against conservative cards or, you know, they've got all those things like certain things will work against. It's kind of like Pokemon in that way, like fire and water and. Yeah,
Beats what? What trumps what? Yeah,
right. Exactly.
I get you.
It's a really in-depth game. You can read through the rules, and I've done it in the past. I haven't actually played it, but like the rule book is thick. It's like 90 pages.
So is this like Magic the Gathering before Magic the Gathering? Or
I think so.
Okay.
It's kind of like the conspiracy theorists, you know, D&D
for
so
sure.
To speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd play the hell out of this game. I would love it.
I would if it didn't cost $700. I'd probably own it and play it all the time.
Yeah.
So. It looks like a lot of fun. They got other ones, like I said, that are just kind of like making fun of things like this flat earth one. Mm. It's not like actually some people say, you know, oh, it's, you know, they're telling us the truth that it's flat earth. But I'm like, but it's also kind of a joke. It's literally a square earth with like the boats falling off the edge and things like that. So.
Yeah. And that's the thing about this entire game. This entire game could just be a joke. You know what I mean? Like
it could be right. Isn't that interesting though, how that kind of works though? It's like if you make it. It could be a joke. Like this is, I'm not really a big fan of Andrew Tate, but I liked his explanation of Revelation of the Method, where he's like, you know, if I put an apple stall out there and I say poison, and I say they're apples and you buy them and they're poisoned apples, then I poisoned you. But if I say poison apples, it doesn't matter if you think it's a joke. It doesn't matter if you think I'm just teasing or it's like a gimmick. You buy the poison apple and eat it, that's on you. Like that's kind of how these things work.
Yeah. That is true. Yeah.
And I feel they use comedy to always hide the truth. So a lot of truth comes when you watch a lot of comedics and their stand-ups, they are telling you the truth on a lot of things. But because you laugh, you know, when Jim Carrey came out and said the Illuminati and on the talk show, he's telling you, right? He's telling you. But by making it as a joke, then it's catch, you know.
Well, it makes you look, figure out. It makes you look insane for thinking that he's not joking, you know?
It's a catch 22. You're not sure. You're like, oh, is whatever. But I feel they use comedy always as a way to cover up, you know, things like this, you know?
I read that they actually added in a laugh track for that, though, that people were not.
I heard that too. I heard that too.
He was saying, he was just out there saying things because that like first part was kind of funny, but then he goes more into it in that. Was that a Jimmy Kimmel interview or I can't remember.
Yeah. Kimball or who's the other?
Maybe it was Conan O'Brien. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But either way, like the laugh track was added in later because he was kind of not like he was supposed to come off as he was being, you know, funny, but nobody there thought he was trying to be funny.
Oh boy. Yeah. That's always
I did
awkward.
Hear that too.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So another funny card in this, I just personally like this card a lot, is the one called Intellectuals. And it says, I didn't understand that it must be true. And I just like that poking fun at the, you know, the super intellectual crowd or just think if I say something in big words or whatever. But where the game starts to get interesting, and where most people probably have heard the conspiracies around the Illuminati card game start with 9/11, mm-hmm. where you've got this card here, the terrorist nuke, which shows obviously the Twin Towers. People have debated on whether it's the Twin Towers. The artist said, like, the artist who drew this was like, yes, this is the Twin Towers. Obviously, that's what it was supposed to be.
So is that like the direct location where the planes hit too?
Very close. I mean,
it's pretty spot on. It's not like you can tell exactly how many floors there are, but it's pretty much right there.
You know?
Ooh. And how the top part of the building's already falling, which when the first tower fell, you could see it started to fall and then somehow disintegrated by the time it reached the bottom. But
right. You
can just see it's like a mirror image of what we saw on TV for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And then not only that, but you've got the Pentagon, which looks, I mean, I know the fire's coming from the middle, but when you have these two cards, it definitely looks like, you know, you've got all of 9/11 right here on these two cards.
Right.
And this is part of why the game is, you know, discontinued. Actually, it's almost entirely why the game is discontinued in the 1995 package.
And I heard that this card and the one you saw previously, if you have both of them together in good condition, people will, oops, sorry, balloons.
You got to take off that reaction thing, dude. Do the heart. Do the heart real quick.
I don't know what happened there.
It's like every time you do like reactions, oh, it's not. Okay, now you're just flashing Illuminati signs.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Got some confetti.
But people are selling those two cards together if they're in great condition for like hundreds of dollars.
Wow. I'm sure.
The two that you just showed. Yeah.
Well, so I will say that with the Twin Tower symbolism, there's been a lot of cartoons that pictured the Twin Towers just collapsing, falling, getting blown up. There's tons of that stuff. So it doesn't shock me that this card is in this, but the Pentagon is very specific.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's kind of on the money.
And then there's the question, like, why did so many things in the 90s have that idea? I mean, at least with Terrorist Nuke, you could make the excuse that in, was it 92, I believe, is when they put the bomb in the basement of the Twin Towers and try to blow them up that way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It was like 92, 95, 94, somewhere in there. Were they in the garage?
In the parking garage. I think it was 92.
In the parking lot. 92. Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually seen a lot of similar kind of explosions with the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge, like the Statue of Liberty. So now you have like all these conspiracy shows talking about how there's going to be bridges that are blown up. The Golden Gate Bridge is going to blow up. I don't know about Statue of Liberty.
Both the Statue of Liberty and the Golden Gate Bridge were targeted attacks in the X-Men movies. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah. There you go. Predictive programming right there.
Exactly.
Could be. I think it starts to get a little bit weirder, though, is this image here, which, sorry, not that one. I'm jumping ahead. I've got mine all out of order. The big thing that happened last year, you know, was the Trump assassination attempt. And this is where it really got my interest. And this is where I started to really dig into this card game.
Yep.
And this card is called Enough is Enough. And it says literally on the card, any time at any place, our snipers can drop you. Have a nice day. And if you go back and watch, you know, or listen to podcasts on this card before the Trump assassination attempt, there's theories going back years that this face looks like Trump quite a bit. And you can see it here. Yeah. And I think this is one of those posts, you know, that are before. But if you look at what happened on the day of and you literally superimpose Trump's face as he's pumping his fist, and the card, I mean, it matches up like perfectly.
Dude, I got
this line here, which is like right by where the bullet came by his ear.
Yeah, I got to say, because I saw a video that you put together of this where you actually drag the faces over and it's like a perfect match. Like this is like, it blew my mind. I was like, no freaking way.
Yeah, if you take and superimpose them and then you like just adjust the opacity back and forth, you can see just how exact this is. Like it's creepy exact.
Yeah.
And that line, enough is enough, is what Hogan said on stage. You know, when Hogan was ripping his shirt off, enough is enough. There you go. There it is.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, it was like right after, it was what, two days after he says enough was enough. And it's, and with that, like, you know, saying it like in the past, enough was enough. It's almost like he's referencing the card, like he knows that this card was some kind of prediction.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I did a 4-part series on Trump being the Antichrist. Like, not that I believe that, but I'm just like, let's explore the idea. And this was like months before the assassination attempt. And so like it was there's a large collage. I don't know if you've heard of Donnie Darkened.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like I was looking at a lot of his kind of research and a lot of his posts and just going through, and he was the one who kind of pointed out that enough is enough was being said by a lot of different people, and especially ramping up towards this whole assassination attempt. You had even Tucker Carlson saying, like on the Adam Carolla show, you know, he's going to be assassinated or there's going to be an attempt on his life. You had like Ann Coulter. She was coming out saying like someone asked her what could Trump do to like save America? And she said he could die. And I'm like, what? So there's like there's all of this movement of, you know, we're fearing for Trump's life. You know what I mean? And then this happened. So,
yeah, enough is enough almost became like a slogan. If you kind of go through and see just how many different people were saying that about Trump leading up to it. And I couldn't find the tweet. I had found it in the past. It might be deleted. But after the assassination attempt, Kamala Harris tweeted something along the lines of, I thought enough was enough. And it sounded kind of like, I thought he was going to die.
Right.
You know, why didn't he die? It was really weird. So,
yeah, I thought you were going to take care of this, people, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost came across like that, as in like, I can't believe that this didn't work. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want our money back because whoever we paid to off him didn't do a good job.
Right.
No refunds.
There's also this interesting card about Joe Biden. I say it's about Joe Biden, but this is the imposter card. And did you see that interview where it looked like...
Yes.
It looked like a light-skinned black dude with... I mean, it looked like Obama wearing a Joe Biden mask.
Yeah. It's a complete like face filter on top of some man's body.
Yeah, it's super wild. I don't know. I don't know what you guys' thoughts are on like the whole Joe Biden mask thing, but I'm like 100% convinced that sometimes it is definitely a different person.
Well, Flex, I think it's a clone, right?
Oh, well, not or a body double. I think the real Joe has been gone since 2019. Whether I don't believe any of these people are in Gitmo or they're doing trials. I think they either pass away or they're taken out if they're not, you know, they don't go along with stuff. Greg and I did a whole show on that, being like, if certain stars don't go along or they start to push back, something happens. But it's not the same dude. You know, we all know they have body doubles. There's a very famous 100%. Photo that we've put up several times that gave Greg of Trump, and you can see the body doubles. You know, totally understand that, but I think the real Joe, which was driving me nuts as a Canadian up here, being like, you guys have a fake. And I always thought of this card. When I saw this card, I'd get so angry on our call-in shows and we chat and our like, oh, guys. How are you still calling him a president? And I said, they stole something from you. I won't say what, because I don't want to get banned. And at the same time, this dude is not the real dude. And I don't know how it went this long. And now you have Trump and Biden in the same room shaking hands and saying we're going to have a peaceful
Freemasonry handshake.
I'm like, what are we doing?
Well, I mean, because 2020, everybody saw the graph, right? Because right after the 2024 election, they showed the historical like popular vote. And then just all of a sudden in 2020, you had this extra 17 to 20 million people pop into the graph. And I don't know. Hopefully they investigate that stuff, but I don't know if they ever will.
Did you see the graph from, I think it was Wisconsin this year, that matched exactly like somebody's prediction of like how they were going to do another one of those, but it would fall short.
No.
And then someone showed like the 3 a.m. in Wisconsin. It was like the same lines going along and then there's a bump up, but it doesn't cross over.
Wow.
I'll try to find it and send it to you, but it's exactly the same graph from 2020. It just didn't go up far enough. As in like, we didn't have enough. Yeah.
Jeez. Still trying to pull off that stuff. Okay.
Oh, 100%. I think that stuff's always going on.
Yeah.
Let me see. This is another one I found interesting, because this is another one of those pictures that, if you remember, again, talking about 2020, this is, you know, National Guard in front of a fence in front of the White House. And we've only seen that one time in American history. And it's called martial law. And it's just like, it's so, I could picture this being drawn as, you know, about January 6th and things like that.
Yeah. Well,
and you know what's scary about this too, and everybody just listening on audio, this is the martial law card. And the whole Q stuff, I don't know if you were ever into that or followed it and all that stuff.
I followed it, but I was never really into it.
Dude, I got hook, lined, and sinkered into it. I was like diehard Q guy. I thought like Joe Biden was getting arrested. I thought Joe Biden was getting arrested on inauguration day. You know what I mean?
We all did.
And it was like I would have sold my house on this, you know what I mean? Like I believed it that much, but then I was just like,
I did sell my house because of it.
Yeah, right.
That's why I left Toronto, and I'm like, oh god.
But
but
if you think about Operation Trust, you know what I mean? You know, like the Russian plot to like get everybody to trust the government again. I honestly believe that that is what Trump and this Q stuff is all about. It's no one really trusts the government right now. You know what I mean? And so how do we get them to get into this patriotic mode where we were at 9/11? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To where we had this boost of morale coming together.
Right.
It's you have to have a character in there to bring everybody together. That's Trump. And then you have to have them be okay with martial law because you're going to have to kick a lot of people out of this country, you know?
Oh, I mean, I agree. And what I find so interesting about this last year specifically is that the meme around Trump has kind of been, we actually want him to be everything that you say he is. Have you seen that kind of going around as in like, you guys say he's going to do this and this and the other and be a dictator. And a lot of people have been saying, well, now we kind of want Trump to be that thing that you've been claiming. Right. You've been claiming he's this fascist dictator for 8 years and we're sick of you. And now we kind of want it. So like, it's my point is I agree with you and it's just working all too perfectly where people will accept a lot more from Trump because they've seen how bad things were under Joe Biden, not just for the economy, but just in every way.
In every aspect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that scary?
It is scary. It's the thing that I'm most worried about. It's why I wasn't as celebratory as everybody else about the election. I'm like, yeah, but I kind of think that what's coming next is like now, you know, people on the right are just going to do that. It's just, dude. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of a psyop in my opinion. But
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Now that talking about, I don't know if we want to get into this one at all. I don't know if you're trying to stay on YouTube.
We'll post this on YouTube, but I mean, it is, you know, we're looking at an epidemic card, everybody, and everybody kind of knows about the miracle medicine that was put out there, you know, and like
it's part of history. So you can't
bring this one up because quarantine is written on it in 1995. And that wasn't really a concept. And I've talked about this before, how there was a couple of movies, actually one of them, Outbreak, I think came out in 1995. Oh. And that was the first time that the public kind of got this idea of, hey, if something bad happens, we're going to lock you in your homes. And through almost 20, you know, I guess it'd be like 15, 20 years of that programming, you know, people started to accept, oh, this is what happens when the flu breaks out, is we all just lock ourselves in.
Yeah.
And I think it was because of those things that people accepted it. I don't think if they didn't see it in Contagion, if they didn't see it in Outbreak, they probably would have been like, what the heck? 2 weeks, 2 weeks in my house? Even that would have thrown people, let alone 2 years.
But they were smart
because it says quarantine on it in big letters. Yeah. That was just not a thing that people were talking about.
They were smart about it because they used the word quarantine at the beginning. And somehow I used to tell my friends, I said, don't you find it very strange that it went from that to the word lockdown?
Right.
Like they weren't using that word anymore because quarantine you would associate with science and health and safety, but then lockdown,
right?
Temporary.
You would also think of quarantine as I'm sick, now I will quarantine, not I'm healthy and I'm going to quarantine for 2 years.
Exactly.
That's a pretty big stretch.
Dude, I do think the movie Outbreak, I went to go see that in theaters. I remember when I was a kid, but I think that, and it scared the hell out of me, by the way. I was like, whoa, what if like a disease did do this? And like, whoa, what would we do? I think that was like predictive programming for the boomers. And then Contagion came out and that was like predictive programming for millennials.
And then Gen Z and all that.
Yeah, Gen Z.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. What's funny is I've actually never seen Contagion. I'm probably going to have to cover it at some point on Real Conspiracies, but I've never watched it.
Yeah, it's right up there with Outbreak. It's pretty much exactly the same movie.
Yeah, yeah. And then to continue with that, this CDC card is another one a lot of people bring up because it talks about the CDC as someone who would use a biological weapon. So that concept is just kind of weird and to throw in there with the CDC, who is, you know, up until a certain point was always, you know, the people who are going to come in and save you. And it's kind of, giving that opposite connotation.
I mean, that's kind of, it kind of goes along the lines. I don't know if you've ever done a deep dive on Elon Musk.
Yeah.
But like for a while, his Twitter profile was this avatar of a video game. I forget what video game it was.
Was it Diablo?
No, it was something about this guy who integrated with AI to save the world.
Oh, Deus Ex.
Deus Ex, yes.
Yeah, he says that's his favorite video, other than Diablo, which he's, I guess, like one of the top-ranked players in the world in Diablo. I don't know how he has the time.
Yeah, it's like, what? Okay, you nerd.
But you're right, yeah, Deus Ex, he's talked about this. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
Deus Ex also had, this game came out before 2001, and it also showed the Twin Towers being destroyed.
Exactly. And then it also had, you know, government releasing a biological agent. Mm-hmm. Throughout the game, and then
it's literally the plot of 2020.
It's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is all before Event 201, which is that should have been an eye opener for everybody, right? That these guys sat October, November of 2019 and did a whole scenario, like play by play,
about a crown virus, right?
Yeah, and they you know, it's like war gamed it, but this is all stuff that came out beforehand, because like we were saying, people trusted in that. And I think that's what's happened the last 4 years, is the trust is gone. And maybe that was part of the plan, is not to have us trust these corrupt agencies. It's what's going to replace it.
Exactly.
Something that will be okay for the next 4 years, but then get corrupted.
Or another control system, you know, like the digital ID, the digital currency, all that stuff.
Well, totally. I mean, that's the thing, right, is we're just moving towards a transhumanist future on the right hand side, because we're putting people like Musk, and we don't trust all these things, and we're going to move towards like CBDC and brain chips and all that stuff. But it'll be good because the Dems aren't doing it. Like, that's kind of been my, my thought on what's going forward. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the soft sell of all of these trans whatever.
Or if you don't, or, you know, Trump wants to get rid of taxes, which I think he's going to do. Mm-hmm. He'll say to get no tax, you know, you get your full paycheck and it'll just be a flat tax and everyone will be great, but you'll have to sign up to some type of digital format to get it. And most people, myself included, would be like, yeah, all right. I don't have a problem with getting my whole pay. Everything's digital anyways. I've never...
Money's already fake.
So. That's it. Right. Well, yeah.
It's not like, backed by anything anymore anyway. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like the idea of it being more controlled. But now I think about it, it's like, when's the last time I had cash anyway? You know what I mean? Like, everything is kind of already there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
This next one I got is kind of weird. I'm going to go through this. This is one, like, I'm not even saying I fully believe it, but there's like some weird stuff that pops up. So one of the things that people were doing with this card game is they obviously noticed 9/11. They noticed a couple other things and they started to try to find connections. And this next connection starts off weird, but people are looking at this sniper card. Mm-hmm. And what they started to do is they're like, well, what if I put this sniper card next to this Vegas card? Does this, and again, it's like, it's not a good connection off the bat. It's like, okay, you take a card of a sniper and then you take a card of Vegas, and is it like Steven Paddock and the 2017 Vegas massacre and all that stuff? Mm-hmm. And it's not that convincing, but there are at least some cards that are meant to be put side by side. Like, right. So there's kind of maybe a hint there. This is my favorite duo right here, is the Bill Clinton card. If you just saw that, you're like, why is Bill Clinton wearing a leash? Some kinky sex thing or whatever. And then on the other card, you see it's Hillary Clinton controlling him by the leash, which I like that they were already, you know, kind of got that idea back in 1995. Like, everybody kind of knew what was going on.
You know, I like it, PJ. Come on.
I thought it was Monica Lewinsky holding the leash, and then I found out. Yeah, but no,
that would have been funny.
There is a card of a politician in bed with a woman, and it doesn't look like Bill Clinton, but people say that is. I'm like, well, that's just all politicians, to be honest.
Yep.
So that's where, like, I'm sorry, this thing keeps popping up and making it so I can't pull up my next thing. But the weirder part with Vegas is that this card, the Vegas card itself, is almost the exact same as this tattoo that Jason Aldean has.
Oh, wow.
That he's got when he's performing at the Vegas thing. And I just looked at this, I'm like, this looks like a memorial tattoo of what happened that night, but it was actually already on his arm, like when he's performing. So it's kind of weird that it's got a lot of the same, it's got the exact same Jack and Ace card in the same order and stuff like that. And if that's not weird, the next one is really weird to me, which is that the arms dealer card,
holy moly,
is exactly like Steven Paddock. So, like, it's not, like, none of this is super concrete, but when you start to add it up, it's kind of freaking weird.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, that last slide that you just were showing that like kind of blew my mind. Cause like,
oh, the Jason Aldean one.
Yeah. So Jason Aldean was the performer, the country singer who was playing
yes.
where the audience got shot at. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, what are the odds that you have Las Vegas, the Jack, and was this like a popular thing though? Like the Jack of Spades and the Ace of Spades next to each other?
I don't know. Like, it's just weird because it's got the microphone and all this stuff, like in the music notes and everything. It's almost like this would be a commemorative tattoo of like, hey, that time in Vegas that has something happened at a music event.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's odd to have that exact tattoo there anyway. So, I mean, I'm not saying like Jack and Ace is like a weird tattoo, but I definitely think it's weird when you start to add them up and then you see that the arms dealer yeah. card is like pretty spot on for Steven Paddock.
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
And like that whole story, like, was he even an arms dealer or was he just like a freaking fall guy, dude? You know?
Well, he was an arms dealer, but he was also a fall guy, I think yeah. is the point. Like, he was at very least a legal arms dealer. I think he was running guns for the government and they used him as a patsy, but.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I wouldn't doubt it.
That whole thing is so weird. I mean, I showed on an episode I did about this that if you watch the body cam footage, they come into the room and they're like, there's no broken glass. And they're saying these things. They're showing the window in the body cam footage that would later be broken and have a bunch of rifles next to it. There's no guns on the ground. There's no broken glass. And then the next day, the photos have a little mini sledgehammer. Like a handheld, like mini sledge.
Yeah.
And these are like bulletproof, you know, like hurricane proof windows.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we're supposed to believe that he smacked it with a hammer and broke it.
Well, dude, it's so interesting too. Do you know who Ian Carroll is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Popular on mm-hmm. social media and all that stuff. He put out a video about there's this website that this guy made. It's a map of the Vegas event that happened.
Yeah.
And all of these little icons, he kind of like put a whole like demographic thing where it's an interactive map and you can hover over it and it'll give you details of what, you know, was reported, police reports, everything. And he was
and
saying,
they're all over Vegas that night. Like there's right. footage of, and I've shared this before too, but there's footage of fully automatic gunfire on the other side of Vegas an hour and a half after Steven Paddock was supposedly dead.
Yeah.
There's calls. I mean, you can listen to 911 calls all night from people in all parts of Vegas reporting tons of gunfire, and it's automatic fire and some of it's caught on camera. There's like different caliber casings all over the place.
Right.
People are, you know, there's a video of a helicopter swooping down on these people and you hear gunshots.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just one dude by himself. Right?
Just one dude, even stock. Though we have like multiple reports of multiple shooters. Like, what is going on here? Come on now.
It is. Yeah. It's one of the like the most covered up. And it's weird. There's so many witnesses, but I think there's this point. They're just terrified to say too much.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know. I got friends from there and they've, you know, I've heard a lot of stories, but yeah, there's so much documented evidence that it was not one dude. And you can also listen to the gunfire and hear that it's not an AR with a bump stock. It's mm-hmm. clearly like an M240 Bravo or something. So, but yeah, the Vegas one is interesting. What else did I have here? There's so many. I'm sorry. This thing keeps popping up and not letting me click on these tabs. Talking about, mass casualty events. The Boston Marathon bombing, this famous picture of this woman in the green mm-hmm. jogger suit. And then we've got this jogger one here. And what makes it even more interesting is it says no one even suspects a harmless jogger and it's an assassination attempt card. So it's like kind of a weird card already anyway.
Yeah.
But this is the same photo that's been used over and over and over again when it comes to the Boston Marathon. Pretty similar looking get up. So.
You know, it's hilarious. I used to have a Walkman just like that when I was growing up, yeah. like the bright yellow.
Yeah, the Sony Discman or the Mega Bass
or something.
Walkman.
But like, it's so like that's another one. The whole Boston bombing. I haven't really looked into that, to be honest.
I never really have either, but it's weird.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. You know,
I went deep into that when it first came out. We'll have to do a show on that, Greg, because it's pretty interesting. Because I think that was the first time that I can think of recent in my lifetime that they used martial law because they told people don't leave your house, stay in your home. Mm-hmm. So they used martial law that evening to try to find those two brothers. Mm-hmm. And neither is the guy, there's a very famous photo of the guy whose legs were blown off, but he's an amputee actor and he was at the Boston hockey game a couple months later, and apparently he got booed because people were like, "Yeah, dude, you didn't get your legs blown off. You're just a crisis." That's where I learned about crisis actors.
Oh, the crisis
in Boston. Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, there provably was photos of people shown that died in that didn't. And then, you know, the kind of the normie excuse or the obvious excuse would be, well, the news was trying to rush and get a story out there, so they just used photos that they had lying around. But you can prove that some of those photos are shown in other cases. I think Sandy Hook is another one.
Yeah.
Same exact photos of people and stuff like that.
Oh, so, my gosh, dude. It's pretty weird.
Let's see. I've got this one. Princess dies, and the one people bring up, because in the photo it shows her being surrounded by paparazzi, and it's not Princess Diana, it's Princess Di. So some people use that one. It's not the most convincing one. I'm kind of just going through some. Mm-hmm. But what one that is really interesting and convincing to me, I was talking about the NSA earlier, is you get the NSA card and it says no such agency, it doesn't exist, just ask them.
What?
And it's a guy spying on two lovers. And if you remember the Edward Snowden thing, what the NSA did after Edward Snowden came out and blew the whistle is like, hey, listen, the NSA is listening to everything you do, every phone call, they're logging every email, all your keystrokes, like all of it, like everything that you've ever done digitally, the NSA has access to. And it's this huge story. He literally flees to Russia because it's such a, you know, damning story. And what the NSA does after this is they come out and they say, okay, look, a couple of our agents spied on their lovers a couple times, but we fired them. So it's not a big deal. And then the media just went with this. They call it Love Int or Love Intelligence. And the media took this limited hangout, ran with it, was just like, oh my gosh, what a crazy story. And they all got distracted by this. But I just find that funny that the NSA spying is literally the Love Int story. And then you can see here, you know, CNN picked up on this, NSA, some use spying power to snoop on lovers. Like, that's the story that ends up making the mainstream rounds instead of the NSA is spying on all of us all the time.
You know, it's funny because that whole Q stuff talks about NSA being no such agency. They use that terminology too.
Yeah, I think it goes back a ways because
that's what I was gonna say.
They did come out in the 70s that they'd been existent for 20 plus years before the public knew about it. So I think no such agency is probably just a colloquialism that people have used for a long time.
Yeah.
Do you think Trump will pardon him? What do you think?
Or Snowden?
He didn't the first time. So
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he will. Maybe now that he has a better cabinet, you know, wink, wink. Maybe they'll convince him, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I kind of doubt it. I doubt it too. I mean, at this point, hasn't Snowden been a Russian citizen as long as he was an American citizen? Yeah, I'm joking because it hasn't been that long. But
it's been about what 16 years.
It's getting there.
It's been 12 years. Yeah, it was 2012, I think, that he blew the whistle on the NSA. So. It's been a long time. Yep. Talking about whistleblowers, I like this card here. This is a whistleblower card, and it's literally, this looks like Hillary Clinton, in my opinion. She also looks like this in some of the other cards, but you've got this Hillary Clinton one here, and it's all about pointing out the whistleblowers and people coming to hang this guy. And I find this interesting because there's also another card
called
And Stay Dead, and it is basically Julian Assange.
Yeah.
So you've got Hillary Clinton, Julian Assange, and for people who don't remember, Hillary Clinton famously said, can't we just drone this guy in a meeting talking about Julian Assange? So there's a lot of like interesting stuff that's kind of playing out in these cards that, again, Hillary Clinton, Julian Assange, all this stuff I find kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah.
This one blows my mind, though. This is the political correctness card. And, you know, obviously political correctness has a long history. I think the term actually comes from Stalinist Russia. But this game came out in 1995. And what these two people are being hung for by not being politically correct enough, one of them ate the flesh of dead animals. So it's kind of like a vegan joke. But the one on the left says used insensitive pronouns.
Right.
I spent like an hour trying to find if anything 1995 or previous talked about pronouns in this.
No, it all happened when Obama got in. That's when all the pronoun and LGBTQ stuff started.
Right.
2008, yeah. 12 between then.
There's nothing. What the LGBT IDGAF lobby will say is, well, there's a case going back in the 1920s where they talked about pronouns. It's like literally that case, because I looked into it, was can we use they as a general for a group of people or for someone that, like, if we don't know who this person is and we're just using a, you know, them. Like, that's the pronoun you would use, right? If you're not talking about a specific person that you know, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. like as in I'm a they them. Like, that was not a thing, especially, and no. It wasn't a thing in 1995. I spent a lot of time looking for it. So
just
the fact that, you know, political correctness would evolve into insensitive pronouns. I just can't figure out where the artist for this came up with that idea.
Well, it was getting people canceled, right? That was the first cancel culture, was if you didn't go along with that, or you called they, them, cis, ris. I don't know. I can't.
Right.
I can't,
I'm just saying, up. It's like 20 years before anybody had an argument over pronouns.
Yeah, I guess it would be kind of like Russia, I guess, you know, like the communists kind of infiltrate from within type of agenda, where you'd be, you know, these super liberal groups would introduce, you know, gay marriage, mm-hmm. things that weren't mm-hmm. very popular back in the 90s. But I mean, who was it? Like the guy in like 1970 something, he had that sit down interview where he's like, here's how we're going to take down America or something, this is how you would take down a country using communism, is you infiltrate their systems. You'd get them super liberal. They'd hate the government. They'd hate the military. And then mm-hmm. they would riot from within. And it's basically just you're rotting the system.
Wasn't that like a Gorbachev quote or something?
Gorbachev. Or something like that.
It might not have been Gorbachev, but it was someone after Stalin, mm-hmm. before Gorbachev. I can't remember all the names of the guys, but
It was like a famous like KGB guy who was on a talk show, and he was basically just explaining how communism works to purposefully destroy a nation.
Right. Yeah. The infiltration would take the nation out from within. I remember that quote. I just don't remember who said it.
Yeah.
And he was right about everything. Like in that video, he basically outlined what's been happening, you know, take religion out, disrupt the family unit. It's crazy. By the way, I believe all this shit. So I don't think this is any conspiracy. You know, I believe in all this. That's why I'm wearing my truth shades. This is all.
I like the truth shades.
We're not doing the goggles of, bullshit. This is the truth.
Gotcha.
Talking about truth shades, what are your thoughts on Alex Jones? Because there's a conspiracy about Alex Jones in the card game.
I keep seeing something that he was a comedian called Bill something.
Bill Hicks.
Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I could see that maybe. And now I'm hearing rumblings of him maybe being the press secretary for Trump. Can you imagine?
That's not gonna
I think that was a joke, but
I hope so. Yeah. Or maybe not.
Didn't they already announce the press secretary? I can't remember. Was it? I heard Tucker Carlson's name being thrown out there, but I don't remember if that's who they're actually going to go with.
Yeah, I think this whole idea that they're going to sell off InfoWars is like a mirage. It's a facade. Like, just before I came on here, I saw that, it looks like
The Onion was supposed to buy it, right?
The Onion was supposed to buy it, but then like a judge just blocked the sale mm-hmm. of InfoWars. So it's like now he doesn't have to give it up. So it's like this cat and mouse game where they're always moving the goalposts, just like the whole Q stuff. So I don't know. I don't think that he's the most persecuted guy in America. Like, all of his stuff is available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify. Like, you can listen to him everywhere. He says that he's like the most banned person in the world, but I'm like, no, you're not.
You're not.
Yeah, no, I agree. And one of the theories, obviously, you know, about Alex Jones is that he's kind of controlled opposition. And we get this card here that's called Agent in Place. And I mean, it looks a lot like Alex Jones, to be honest. got a hot guy at a hot dog stand who's, you know, pretending to be a hot dog guy, but he's actually an agent. And when I looked into this, I found out that obviously Alex Jones had his Houston local TV show in 1994 when these cards were being made. Steve Jackson Games was also based in Austin, Texas in 1994 mm-hmm. when this game was being made. And some claims, I couldn't verify this, but some claims say that InfoWars was on the exact same street as Steve Jackson Games back in 1994.
Really?
I believe it. I believe everything.
So I couldn't verify that last part, but it's pretty interesting. And then you brought up Alex Jones being not the most persecuted person. This is the other card that people associate with Alex Jones, the censorship card. I don't personally think it really looks like Alex Jones.
Nah.
But that's kind of the connotation that people see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see it.
Dude, I think the whole, when Alex Jones got kicked off of every platform all at once, I think that was a coordinated psyop to make him look like the fall guy to get people to trust him. And
what came out of it, right? The Alex Jones is right jar is like a thing that everyone says now.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you can't talk about conspiracy theories and be like, without bringing that up, is like, oh, Alex Jones was right again. Like, that's kind of the thing that came out of it. So yeah. I think he's probably way more famous now than he was before the censorship thing.
Exactly.
I mean, I knew about him, but I've been into conspiracy stuff for a really long time. So
yeah, and that's the whole thing. Oh, sorry, Flex.
Just saying. Go ahead.
I think that that's the same thing they're doing with Trump too. It's like the more they attack him, the more popular he gets. And like the fact that they can't see that, I'm just like, are they that dumb or are they doing this on purpose?
Well, this was a debate in 2016, right? Is that the media decided to start attacking Trump in 2016 when he was not the front runner, right? Like Ted Cruz was the clear front runner early on. Mm-hmm. The media decided they were going to go after Trump and only Trump. And then Trump becomes the front runner and becomes popular. And there was a lot of, you know, talking heads on the left going like, well, was it actually the media that put Trump in? I mean, even the left was saying it back then. It's like, was it the media's fault that we got Trump's presidency?
Mm-hmm.
So them giving him so much air in 2016 is why he took the Republican nomination. And that was believed by some to be a coordinated effort. They thought he would be more beatable by Hillary Clinton than someone like Ted Cruz. I
think that was actually admitted by Hillary. There was some documents that came out, I think, that said that Hillary thought that Trump was more beatable.
You're right. Yes, I remember that. Yes, they really wanted to push Trump to be the Republican nominee because they thought it would be an easier. Yeah.
Right.
But it's the same thing, though. Right. Is like if you give him this much hate and also beyond just like making him more popular, it makes his defenders more ardent because they've seen, you know, now they've used lawfare against him. They've tried to kill him two or three times. And I say two or three because there's like a couple other attempts. I don't know if you've read about, but there's bomb one that was kind of fishy. And there's like that maybe the gas attack. So maybe it was even.
I think they're all fishy. Just saying. But
all of them are. Yeah. How much did you look into like the Ryan Ruth one and stuff like that? I feel like that one was gone in like 2 seconds.
Quite a bit. So Flex and I did 2 episodes on each one of the assassination attempts. I got to be honest. I think that they're both fake. Like, I'm just going to throw it out there.
Well, like, wasn't he just on.
No hole in his ear.
That was what I was going to say. He was just on Joe Rogan. He's like, do you have a hole in your ear? And he's like, yeah.
Well, that's like well, honestly, because that is the biggest piece of evidence that the first one was fake was that the ex-White House doctor, physician, Ron, whatever the heck his name is, right? He wrote a letter on like an official letterhead saying President Donald Trump had a 2-centimeter wound in his right ear.
Mm hmm.
And if
that's
you look
big, by the way, 2 centimeters,
it's the size of
a penny.
It's the size of a penny.
Yeah.
You know, a penny is 1.96 centimeters in diameter. So if you put a penny up to your ear, that is what we're talking about, people. So I'm like, there's not even a scratch on his ear. So I'm like, there's no way that they could take that, fold it, stitch it, and then have it heal within 14 days and then have the ear pillow come off. And it's just like miraculously healed. I'm like, come on. That doesn't make sense.
No, and I looked at ear wounds too, and like even a cut on your ear, it does not heal fast. It's not like your tongue heals fast. Your ear does not. It's very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's why people can have earrings, right? Because it doesn't close up instantly.
Yeah. 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 So, exactly.
Yeah, it's weird. Like the big thing that people come to with that one, and I found this interesting because I covered the Trump assassination attempt back then, and everybody on the right was like, how dare you say that this was fake or staged or this or that or the other. I'm like, look, I was told this before, specifically by Republicans in 2001, you know, how dare you question 9/11? And that worked on me for a long time. You know, I was like, okay, you're right. That's unpatriotic, or I'm a bad person or whatever. And it was later, I was like, hold on. If our own government killed 3,000 of its own people, like, we should want the answers, right? I shouldn't be the one that feels bad for wanting the answers.
Well, not only
and
that.
And I felt the same way about the Trump thing. And the only thing that really got to people that they couldn't get their head around was, well, people really died. And are you saying they didn't die? I'm not saying they didn't die. I'm saying that they were, that people in that level of power are willing to sacrifice what I believe is 3,000 people on 9/11 to achieve a goal. Do I think they wouldn't kill three or four people at a rally to achieve the same goal?
To hide trillions of dollars that went missing, to make trillions of dollars through an endless war. And I want to get your opinion just quickly. If Kash Patel comes in and decides to clean up the FBI or the CIA, they keep talking about that he has said that those papers and documents need to be released, JFK 9/11. Do you think, I think that's what would wake up the world, the US to it. If either of those, do you think any of those two will come out in this next term? Because they keep talking about it.
I don't know. I mean, at this point, it doesn't even matter if JFK comes out. I feel like everybody kind of now is on board with the CIA killed JFK. Like, I think we're all kind of there. I think normies are there. I don't know if it really makes a big difference. And I think that the way that some of these revelations work, even with Epstein, right? Like, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but like with the Epstein one, all they had to do was roll it out in a certain way that made the public feel like this was the one time it happened and it's taken care of and you can go back to sleep and not worry about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the whole Netflix documentary was about. And that was in December of 2023, they released the Epstein files. You remember that? This big deal. Yeah. It was just a Ghislaine Maxwell case from 2018
exactly.
with some redactions removed. It was nothing. It was absolutely nothing. And people read 700 pages of this thing and they went, well, I guess there's nothing here. And they just moved on. Like those things have worked so well to make people move on from what should be shocking revelations. So when it comes to JFK, I feel like everybody kind of believes like the CIA killed him. And I'm not sure it'll make a big difference.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's weird. It's weird the way that this stuff works too. Because right now, yesterday they said that UFO, you know, there were aliens and UFOs and all this stuff, and nobody cares. Nobody trusts that the government's telling the truth on that.
That's the biggest thing too. Is like I remember in 2020 or was it 2017 when Fox News Tucker Carlson reported that, you know, there's actually some aerial phenomenon. Yeah, right. There's some phenomenon that, you know, our Air Force has been seeing in the skies and whatnot, but.
That was when the Nimitz video came out, I think, the Tic Tac UFO and stuff like that.
Yeah, it looked like this little like thimble or something in the air, like someone spun something. But I don't know if, like you're saying, if it will make an impact, because I do think that everybody knows that the CIA killed JFK.
Right.
I do think that it would be impactful if we find out other countries were involved, specifically Israel.
You know what I'm saying? Well, that's true. Yeah. Okay, I didn't think about it from that angle, but yes, if that's the revelation, that would make a big difference.
Yeah. Right. So I think with the JFK files, with 9/11, with Epstein, you're going to have one common denominator, and that's a country over in the Middle East somewhere. So,
well, and that would actually change things quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It might turn it, but you never know, because right now it looks like Trump's new cabinet is all about supporting Israel. So I just don't see how that happens.
17 says save them for last. I don't last what? I don't get the save what for last, because I personally don't think any of this is ever going to be exposed. I think it's just, especially 9/11, you know, and that's what's been running now. If Kash Patel gets in, and I saw a whole interview with him saying, no, we have to stop on rejecting everything and putting it out there and not being transparent.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens next 4 years.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yep. Here's another wild card, by the way. The pizza for the secret meeting people bring up a lot. It's literally a pizza on checkerboard thing.
Yeah.
And the card is supposed to be a joke on like hiding a spying device in a pizza and dropping it off. But like, you can't look at this card and all the symbolism and not think, okay, somebody knew something working at Steve Jackson Games. It's pretty crazy. It says, you know, is this the secret meeting? Here you go, sir. Double cheese, pepperoni, anchovy, whatever. Play this card anytime. Pick one secret group to lose its secret status. It just screams, you know, Pizzagate and things like that.
Absolutely, dude. What are your thoughts on Pizzagate?
Yeah. So I know like the popular thing is to go, oh, it was not a, nothing is anything at all. But I've covered this at, in depth. I know people who have been to Comet Ping Pong. There mm-hmm. is a basement. The way that the media gets away with them saying there's no basement is they'll literally say, you can find the articles that say this too. There's a tunnel system that connects a bunch of downtown things in DC. So it's not a basement, it's a tunnel. I'm like, that's so much worse.
That is worse.
That is so much worse. I have a friend who played in their basement tunnel because it's a venue and he's been out there and he's played.
Okay.
I just don't know how a guy walks in, shoots around, ends up just happens to go through a door, through a chair, and into the hard drive of the guy who owns Comet Ping Pong.
Exactly.
When you look into the is his name James Elefantis, I think that.
Yep.
Man, yep. It's creepy. It's a weird rabble. Just look at his Instagram. I know it's deleted. Yep. You have to use like Wayback Machine, which is probably still down.
Mm-hmm.
But holy crap! If you look into that, if you look into his connections with the Podestas, like.
That and how was powerful like Vegas that
they
was.
Really, really wanted everyone yeah. to shut the hell up about, including yeah. Alex Jones, who did shut up about it.
Yeah, there's yeah. Mouthy Buddha. I know he does like a couple of or he did a couple of documentaries on it. And you can find mm-hmm. that like on Rumble and stuff. I don't know about YouTube, but like the biggest thing about this whole pizza thing is like you just had this expose about Instagram being like a hub for like.
Yep.
pedo stuff and mm-hmm. they're using the pizza emoji to kind of communicate here about what they want. Not only that, but like the biggest WikiLeaks head scratcher to me that includes pizza is freaking what's his nose Podesta's handkerchief.
That one, I always bring this one up to people. I'm like, if you think he's not talking in code, make that sentence make any sense. It's like,
yeah.
oh, you left your map at my house and there's a handkerchief with walnut sauce. And it's like, there's no, it's like five codes and there's no way to make that yeah. sentence make any sense if they're not speaking.
Well, and like, cause it's a handkerchief, bro. It's like, hey, you left your handkerchief at the restaurant. It seems to be pizza related. Do you want me to hand it up? It's like, just throw the damn thing away. Like it's the disgusting handkerchief.
A pizza related handkerchief. Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah.
And this is what woke me up. What woke me up in 2020 was all this because on Instagram, I could type in Pizzagate and I could find all this and I would see videos of stars talking about their great pizza parties. Mm-hmm. That's all they talked about, their great pizza parties and the Podesta emails, like things that just didn't make sense. And all the tweets that stars were erasing. LeBron James had a tweet
Chrissy
saying,
Teigen erased 30,000 yeah, tweets. They're pretty bad.
I just smashed a 12-year-old pizza. Am yeah. I going to go to jail? Like, why is LeBron... What does that even mean? So yeah. that's what woke me up. That's got me excited. And why I believed in Trump is I thought, and my friends thought I was crazy because I said I support him for this child trafficking that I had no idea is going on. And I told friends, you know, there's tunnels from Washington to D.C. all the way up the Eastern Seaboard to Canada, all the way down to Miami. And this is how they move kids. And they use the Super Bowl as the day to traffic and all this weird shit, which to this day hasn't really been explained. But, you know, it says right here, pizza secret meeting. I mean, all this is real, folks. Everything yeah. here you see is real.
Yeah. And this is another one that kind of goes along with it. Oh, tell boy. Me that doesn't look like Mike Obama.
Well, and look at the
but
the
it's pedo got the sign. Pedo it's got the pedo symbol on it. Yeah.
yeah.
So people well, don't know this, that's what it is.
Well, and yeah. then, so I was going to ask you about this because like that document came out right around the whole Pizzagate thing. And
yes.
Do you think that like the FBI was putting out a PSYOP because it was the FBI that put it out, right?
Right.
It's an FBI document.
It was an FBI mm-hmm. document. I don't remember if they put it out or if it was leaked, but yeah, same difference. I mean, you can leak something
right
on purpose for sure.
And so it always like sparked my interest that people never trusted the FBI because they were going after Trump, but then they trust the FBI because they put out this thing about the pedo symbol.
And well, like, I mean, I find this interesting though, because you're touching on something that I've had a lot of questions about over the years is like, we don't trust the CIA, the three letter agencies, unless they're backing up what we believe.
There you go.
And it's interesting because it's like, I can understand that from an aspect of someone leaked the document they didn't want you to see.
Right.
But there's like also still like an appeal to authority with the three letter agencies that a lot of conspiracy theorists fall into as well. They're like, well, the CIA said it, so therefore it's true. And it's like, why is it true this time?
Yeah.
Is it just because you want it to say this thing. What I did find interesting, though, is to back up the FBI document. I found private investigators who were, you know, I don't know if private investigators is the right word. I can't remember his name, but there's a guy who was really well known for working outside of the government to bring down child sex trafficking rings. He worked with, you know, agencies and stuff like that, but he wasn't part of them. And he was asked the question about the pizza symbol and all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, I mean, they change a lot, but those are symbols that were used. And I've got that question a lot too. Is it like, is it just okay for us to see these symbols and hear cheese pizza and stuff like that? Because it's an outdated code, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I mean, they're changing the codes all the time. So like it kind of is at this point a little bit.
Yeah. But it is kind of, you know, is it now safe to go back to cheese pizza because everybody thinks it's like an outdated thing?
It seems
thing,
like they
right?
are going back to it, though. I can't remember what it was, but like recently I covered one where it was, you know, the cheese pizza thing being used in 2024. It's like at this point, everybody kind of knows it. So is it like one of those like, well, now it's just so out there that people don't think you'd actually be dumb enough to use it?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
You never know, man. But yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
Or it's because they want you to know that that's
yes.
what it is.
Yeah, because they know we know, and they're just putting it in our face now. Like with all the, like Taylor Swift right now is in Toronto, and I'm just shaking my head how stupid Toronto has gotten. There was a lineup all the way down the street to buy her merchandise yesterday. They've renamed a couple streets after her. And I'm just sitting there going like, you know, it's just the same thing. We all know she's some satanic witch or bitch and, you know... And people, it's right in our face. So that's why I feel with all this stuff, they don't care about putting it out anymore. I think they know we know, and they're just like, huh, who cares? If you know, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I feel like it wouldn't make sense to talk about the Steve Jackson card game and all that stuff if I didn't bring up the Secret Service raid, because that's the thing that people really get into. Have you guys heard about this?
The Secret Service raid?
Yeah. Okay, so on March 1st of 1990... the Secret Service actually raided Steve Jackson Games and they seized three computers, two laser printers, and dozens of floppy disks. And this is kind of why people believe that like they had something that the government wanted. They knew something. It's kind of early. Like the Illuminati card game obviously came out in 82, but this version we're talking about in 95. I'm not sure how much of the game is done by 1990. But it does, like the story is still kind of weird. So during the time of this raid, there's this guy named Lloyd Blankenship. And he was working for Steve Jackson Games, and he had information that he was putting out there that came from an internal memo that belonged to AT&T about the 911 system. So AT&T is working with, you know, the government on the 911 system, and he somehow got this internal memo. He posted it on a bulletin board on the internet. I don't know how familiar, you know, you are with like early internet stuff where it was like everything was just kind of bulletin boards. It was kind of like, you know, stuff like that. So he put it on a bulletin board. He also was running the bulletin board for Steve Jackson Games called Illuminati. That's literally what they call their bulletin board.
Wow. Okay.
And it was just kind of like this internal work message system. You know, you just pin something there, someone would find it, whatever. That's how they're putting out information between the employees. So all of this to say, like, he's got this guy that's working for Steve Jackson, Lloyd Blankenship. He's kind of a hacker in his spare time. Ends up posting some information about the 911 message board. The Secret Service find out, connect it to the Illuminati, connect it to Steve Jackson Games. They come in, they seize the master copy of, you know, the Illuminati card game and all this stuff. And they also went after, this is why they ended up getting sued. This is why they got sued and why Steve Jackson won, is they also took the master copy of this game called GURPS Cyberpunk that they were working on. Because the Secret Service believed that this game would be used to teach kids how to hack. You know what I mean? Because nobody knows what hacking is. Like, you know, to teach kids how to like slam on a keyboard and they can do whatever because it's like early 90s.
Yeah.
And everybody had a very, you know, different idea of what hacking was. So they literally take this game. I think it's going to be used as a way to teach kids how to hack computers. So they sue the United States government, Steve Jackson Games versus the United States Secret Service. And they actually won. So it's an interesting story. A lot of people tell it as in like they came in, they, you know, Secret Service raided him over the Illuminati card game. It's only true in that they raided him over the Illuminati message board. So it's kind of confusing.
But Steve Jackson won that lawsuit?
He did win that lawsuit.
Okay. Yeah.
And this lawsuit actually led to the formation of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is some kind of nonprofit digital rights group that's based out of San Francisco. Oh, and they ended up turning this into a card for the Illuminati card game, the EFL.
Oh, of course.
So yeah, it kind of commemorates the time that they went up against the Secret Service. And
is that
won.
A cowboy with the five-pointed star on his chest? And what is that?
Is that like the Illuminati like a triangle pyramid? Illuminati pyramid looks, thing on the plugin?
Like, looks like the head of a snake.
Yeah.
That's a triangle. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
Could they have raided this place, then came back and said, this is what we're going to have you do. Change your cards. This is what we're, like, did they come back and tell him?
Well, I mean, because that's the conspiracy, right? I'm not saying it didn't happen, but like at least the official story, if you look into it, is that it was about this GURPS cyberpunk thing. It was about the AT&T 911 message board. But that also raises the question, like, if this guy working for Steve Jackson Games is hacking or getting information from, you know, AT&T and government sources, like, did maybe they have some information that they weren't supposed to have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was all on the hush hush. It was all like all on the DL. Like the Wikipedia version is what I'm reading you, but there's something else going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like whenever there's that much effort, it's either like a psyop to make it look like this person is a really bad person or like he really did have something. You know what I mean? Like if, you know, when Trump's like Mar-a-Lago was raided, I think that was a psyop to make him look like a questionable human being. But what if like this whole Steven Jackson guy, like the Illuminati card game, there's a lot of predictions in there that seemingly have come true. So maybe he did have some sort of blueprint like The Simpsons, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, but also like, here's the thing too, is he wins, right? And so a lot of people are going to say, well, the Secret Service didn't have anything and this and that and the other, and that he's not controlled. But it's like, I mean, wouldn't you want the guy to win if you wanted it to look like he wasn't, you know, being fed certain information or being told to put certain things in the game or stuff like that? I don't know. Like the theory, it can go everywhere, but I was just kind of, the official version is that it's not exactly what people put out there. But again, who knows what actually is going on behind the scenes with, you know, Steve Jackson.
Is he still around or did they off him?
Yeah, he's still alive. Yeah.
Munchkin's huge. Steve Jackson Games makes tons of stuff. I mean, there's like a new Munchkin's expansion pack every year at this point. So
I wish like before this guy goes, you know, maybe on his deathbed, he'll finally reveal the secrets to this card game. But if somebody could get him on a show, you know, and just like ask him the deepest, darkest secrets about this game, I wonder if he would actually reveal anything. I don't think he would.
I mean, he's been on a lot of shows. He kind of comes at this from a different angle. So I don't know how familiar you are with the Illuminatus trilogy.
None. I don't know what that is.
Okay. So the Illuminatus trilogy is this book that was written by Robert Anton Wilson. And it's not very good read. It's kind of this whole chaotic Discordian movement thing that was happening. And Robert Anton Wilson's work kind of spurned the Ong's Hat thing. You familiar with Ong's Hat at all?
Sounds familiar, but honestly, no. It's not like I have so much information that it's like in one ear out the other sometimes.
Dude, I know how it is. Like I'll like deeply research a subject, cover it, and people will like remember all the stuff that I said. I'm like, I had to like flush that out to get ready for the next podcast. It happens all the time. But, you know, Robert Anton Wilson was this like self-described agnostic mystic, right? And he believed in Discordianism, which was kind of this like fake religion thing. The Illuminati card game literally has a group called the Discordian Society. It's got Discordianism as a thing. And it's kind of making a nod and a wink to the fact that Steve Jackson's interest in conspiracy kind of came from the Illuminatus trilogy. So the Illuminatus trilogy is kind of this make fun of conspiracy theorists, weird kind of postmodernist book. I've tried to read it. It's kind of trash. I'm not going to lie. It's not my thing.
Gotcha.
But that's kind of, if you talk to Steve Jackson, like that's where he comes at this from, is this is a kind of a tongue in cheek, you know, you can't tell if we're serious or this or that or the other. And even in the Illuminatus trilogy, like it gets into some stuff that is like provable, documentable fact about like the origins of the Bavarian Illuminati and like some real government conspiracy stuff. But it's thrown in with so much chaff and so much like, oh, these conspiracy guys are idiots, that it kind of hides the truth in plain sight. And I think this game does the exact same thing. And that's his, you know, inspiration for it anyway.
Well, I think that's the goal, is always hide the truth in plain sight. So that way you have, what is it called? Where like you can just say
like plausible deniability,
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the exact phrase.
Their karmic retribution that they tell us ahead of time as part of the Satanists, you know, they got to always tell us ahead of time what's going on, which they have been like that whole card game. I'll say for the final time tonight, folks, I believe all of it, every single card.
Yeah, I mean, it's
funny too, because these people pretend to be, you know, agnostic, atheist, things like that. But if you look into Robert Anton Wilson, he's a mystic. He works in, you know, he's literally this thing called an Episcopos, which is like a pope of this Discordian society. If you dig deep enough into the Discordian society, you'll realize that they serve Eris, this Greek goddess of chaos.
Dude, yes. And yes, this is where I heard about this, because I did a whole deep dive on Taylor Swift for like an episode here. And Flex, this is before your time, but people are saying that Taylor Swift was, because like I think she had an album called Aries or something, or she was like brought into this whole Discordianism thing, being accused of being like having witchcraft and all that stuff, which this Discordian movement might perform. I don't know.
That's what I was going to get into, is it actually really does. So if you look deep enough, it's just like the Illuminatus trilogy. It's just like this. It's like on the surface, they want you to believe that they're agnostic, that they believe in nothing. And then at the deeper level of Discordianism, you'll find out that it is a religion to the goddess of Eris. It's actually reflected in the cards. I'll bring this up really quick. I'll share my screen again. You can see that here's the Discordian society card. And then, you know, they've got this whole thing. Yeah, they got the symbol right there. I wasn't planning on talking about this. I'm trying to remember certain things about this because it's been a minute. But it's postmodernism as a religion, right? But yet at the deeper levels, they really are serving these gods. And on the other side of that, because you hear this guy named Joseph Matheny, who was kind of Robert Anton Wilson's driver at one point, and he's the guy who came up with Ong's Hat, which is his like big augmented reality game. He basically created a story that wasn't true, but then like started putting it in magazines and started like having actors go out in the streets and like talk about it as if it was real. So like he made this fake thing happen in real life, and it was kind of the same purpose. It served the purpose of Discord, of giving people a bunch of information that was partially true, but they didn't know what to trust, and it just put so much chaff out there. And I think that's, again, what the whole thing about this is. It's like hiding the truth with so much lies that even if you get to the truth, nobody believes you. You could literally quote the Illuminatus trilogy when it talks about the Bavarian Illuminati's origins, which is all true. But because it's buried in a book of bullshit, essentially, it's like, you know, nobody cares, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And on the other side of this, Joseph Matheny, again, you would think is this agnostic, atheistic type guy who would just talk about flying spaghetti monster. Yet by his own account, he's a practicing ritual magician. He talks about the origins of the internet because he worked in San Francisco during the dot-com boom and all that stuff. And he worked for Adobe and he worked for a couple of these big companies. And what he says in interviews, he's like, the reason that the background program in a computer is called a daemon or a demon is because the original internet was created by a bunch of ritual magicians. He's one of them. And they were actually invoking demonic spirits to like make these programs work and stuff like that. So that's Joseph Matheny talking about it himself.
Yeah. No, we've had guests on that have said the exact same thing. I mean, it's almost mimetic magic. It's alchemy. You're bringing something.
He calls it mimetic magic. Yes, yeah. That is actually what he calls it. You're right.
Yep. So it's taking an idea, bringing it into fruition through having people invoke these certain actions, sharing it, social media, all that stuff. So
And if you get into Matheny's stuff, like it kind of comes up that there's the two versions of chaos magic. He considers himself a chaos magician. He's part of the Ordo Templi Orientis and all that stuff. And the other chaos magic side of it is the frog god. Is you've Keck. Got Aries, which is you have Keck, right? So you've got Aries, which is like a chaos god of one kind that is being served by kind of these left wing. Because that's the thing about Robert Anton Wilson and Joseph Matheny, all these people, is they're very much like left wing chaos magicians. In fact, the whole Ong's Hat thing, which was this kind of LARP, after the whole Q thing came out, Joseph Matheny was going on every podcast he could to talk about how Trump or the Q movement stole his idea for Ong's hat to have this giant LARP that nobody understood, that like with, mm-hmm. with his, you had to like follow these different drops, right? But they were put in magazines. Mm-hmm. And then with Q, it was, you had to follow these drops on 8chan or 4chan or whatever. So yep. he was like basically mad that the right wing Keck serving Discord, you know, like opposite of Discordian, like another chaos god in Keck was kind of fighting his chaos god in Eris, and that they were doing it from like a right wing perspective. So he was like super pissed that the whole Trump movement, the MAGA movement, like took his kind of left wing hippie move, you know, idea, and then turned it into Q. And he talks about it openly. He literally says Q stole his idea.
And the scary part is it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. In both yeah. cases, I mean, Ong's hat is still a thing people talk about. He went on Coast to Coast AM and all this stuff. People really believed it for decades.
Yeah, I definitely flex, just a heads up. I wanted to do a whole episode on this because the mimetic magic and Trump using Keck the Frog is yeah. completely
it's
wild.
Funny. I was thinking about, I was going to ask you, because I just saw the frog and I'm just tying it into Q going, I'm always seeing this. Yeah, you answered that question for me. I was just like...
Well, not only that, but I just watched Where Is My Roy Cohn, that documentary on Roy Cohn and Trump growing up in, you know, young Trump growing up and looking at Roy Cohn as like this protege, or I guess Trump was his protege. But I don't know if you've ever heard of Roy Cohn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't done like a deep dive on it, but I know some of it. Yeah.
Well, per this documentary, and I'm going to take that like with a grain of salt because we all know that documentaries could be biased. But
sure.
They were painting Roy Cohn as like this really evil man. Right. He would do anything to win. He was a lawyer. He would even like send people to the chair just so that he could win a case. Right. He was doing sit-ups in a bedroom, an all-green bedroom, with a shitload of frogs. Like, frogs okay. everywhere, stuffed frogs. And I'm like, why the frogs, bro? What is this all about? And it's just like, that, to me, was like, there's a reason why this guy, because he is very methodical, Roy Cohn. When you hear him talk, when he thinks about the future, he's, like, very precise. He has to win. He has to look good all the time. He has to. It's basically like Trump. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. why does he have a room full of frogs? And why is he doing sit-ups in this room? You know what I mean? Like, this means something
crap.
To him.
Yeah. So, oh, I think it does. And I think that a lot of people just excuse the eccentricities of, you know, billionaires and millionaires as in they're just that. But very often I think that they are doing these things in service to certain fallen God, you know, fallen angel deities and, you know, false gods and things like that. But
possibly, maybe it's worth looking into.
People just like, they just kind of write it off as they're just weird. And it's like a lot of times they're just telling you what it is.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's yeah. what it is. And yeah. that's what this whole card game is, people. So mm-hmm. awesome. Awesome stuff, PJ. Thanks again for coming on the show. You know, this whole Illuminati card game, we've had like many requests just to cover this. And mm-hmm. I know that there's so many more cards, but literally we could be here for like 5 hours talking about
it. Literally could. I had to like skip past even the ones I brought up and I trimmed that down before I came on the show.
No, I get it. Get it. So, yeah, awesome stuff. I appreciate it. Where can people find you, man?
Yeah, thanks again for having me on, man. This is a lot of fun. You guys can find me. You can look for Dark Ocean with PJ Williams. It's on YouTube. It's on Rumble, Instagram, all of that stuff. It should come up. Also Real Conspiracies, spelled R-E-E-L Conspiracies, where I talk about movies and video games and stuff like that. We get into some really interesting stuff on there. Just look for me on Rumble's the place to go, really, because I often get stuff taken down from YouTube.
Yeah.
But you can find it on YouTube as well and anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Perfect. Awesome. Flex, any closing words?
Nope. Not at all.
You believe it all.
I believe it all, man. I'm telling you, it's after two or three coincidences. I'm just so tired of my friends being like, it's just a coincidence. And I say, well, so is your life. You know, just a coincidence. You just happen to end up here. No, your mother and father got together and they made a baby. This is the same shit. You put the stuff together. Mathematically, it's impossible. That's all I got to say, folks.
It's all meant to be.
Awesome. It's all meant to be.
Well, yeah, PJ, I appreciate it again. Thanks for showing up. And until next time, everybody, sayonara.
Stay steamy.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.